Apologies, I don't know what part it cut off. We're on hadith number two. Ali ibn Muhammad rafa'ahu an Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Ali ibn Muhammad is a teacher of Shaykh al-Kulayni. He doesn't give us a chain of transmission from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. So according to many of the ulama that look at the chain of transmission, this would not be considered a reliable hadith. It would be considered mursal. However, some of those ulama have explanations that they accept that chain of transmission. I don't have a view either way at this point regarding hadith like this, where Kulayni mentions hadith like this exactly. There's nobody mentioned between the teacher of Shaykh al-Kulayni all the way to Imam al-Sadiq. We don't know anybody there. However, we're going to rely on the text of the hadith. If it conforms with everything else and it matches everything else, then it's likely that it's said, perhaps certainly, one can reach that certainty which some ulama do. Anyhow, without any further ado, the hadith is, إِذَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ بِنِعْمَةٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses an abd, فَظَهَرَتْ عَلَيْهِ, and that ni'mah shows or appears on him, سُمِّيَ حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ Muhaddithan bi ni'matillah, he is called a habib of Allah, a beloved of Allah, someone that God loves, as a muhaddithan bi ni'matillah, someone who is speaking of, with through their behavior, through showing that ni'mah that has been given, speaking of the ni'mah of Allah, the ni'mah or the blessing of Allah. Remember, in Surah Al-Duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the chapter, the last verse is, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And in regards to the ni'mah, the blessing of your Lord, فَحَدِّثْ, then speak and mention the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is referring to that. If a person... If God's blessing that he's given the person, if it appears on him, and clearly, if this happens, then you're called Habibullah, and that would be a reward for the action, then it has to do with an action that the abd does. So a blessing is given. How does the abd, how does the person deal with that ni'mah? If they make it apparent that they have this ni'mah, they don't hide it, if they do that, سُمِّيَ حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ, called the beloved of Allah. In other words, Allah loves them. See, that conforms with the previous hadith. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, يُحِبُّ أَن يَرَى أَثَرَ النِّعْمَةَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. So if God likes to see that, the person who does it becomes beloved, God likes them. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ, on the other hand, إِذَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ, God gives an abd, a servant of his, a slave of his, a ni'mah, a blessing, فَلَمْ تَظْهَرْ عَلَيْهِ, it does not appear on him, he hides it, it doesn't show on him. سُمِّيَ بَغِيظَ اللَّهُ, he will be called the one who is a subject to God's wrath, غَيْظ, his wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُكَذِّبًا بِنِعْمَةٍ, the opposite of muhaddith, to speak and to show that this is a blessing that I have. The opposite of it, the word that's used here is مُكَذِّب. In other words, he's denying, that person is denying the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God gave it for it to be shown, for it to be seen, for it to be used. This person doesn't use it. So it's rejecting and denying blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God forbid. Hadith number three. محمد بن يحيى عن أحمد بن محمد عن محمد بن سنان عن عقبة بن محمد عن سلمة بن محمد بياع القلانس قال مر أبو عبد الله. I'll read the hadith a little later. This chain of transmission has a couple of people that are not accepted by a number of our ulama. The first one, and I think maybe most importantly, Muhammad ibn Sinan. We have an Abdullah ibn Sinan, who is a companion and student of Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, he wouldn't be in this tabaqa. He wouldn't be someone that Ahmad ibn Muhammad narrates from. That would be someone that is all the way, that would be replacing, for instance, in this case, Salamah ibn Muhammad, who narrates from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh. The Abdullah ibn Sanan would be in that tabaqa. He would be on that level. In that period, living in that period. Muhammad ibn Sanan is someone that some of the books of Rijal, I believe Najashi's book, also mentions that he was problematic. And because of what is mentioned there, problematic does not mean necessarily that he has said he's a liar. Okay, there's a problem. I don't recall exactly what the wording there is. That has caused a controversy regarding whether or not Muhammad ibn Sanan is a reliable person that we can trust. So there's various views amongst those who care for this and look into each of the transmitters of hadith. What we believe, just like the two main teachers of Rijal that I had in Qum, I've seen both sides' arguments, not simply because they're my teachers, but the arguments are very sound. Muhammad ibn Sanan is not only a reliable person, he's a very reliable person, and one of the Ashab al-Sir, and one of the very pious, very close companions to the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. We consider this hadith, this chain of transmission to be reliable. قال مر أبو عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام سلام ابن محمد بيع القلانس. If I understand this correctly, سلام ابن محمد is his name. بيع القلانس is his job, his occupation. What he used to do for a living is to sell القلانس. If I understand, if I remember also the correct meaning of القلانس is the plural of, I forget the singular form of it, but it means these certain hats that they used to wear. If I remember correctly, and I understood it to begin with. That's not a word that I frequently come across. My memory, if my memory serves me right, that's what it meant. Anyway, he's a businessman and he sells things. He's got a shop and he sells certain things. It seems, if I remember correctly, it's these particular hats that they used to wear. He says, "Marra Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam ala rajulin." So he's an observer to this. He's not quoting right now. He's telling us the scene, what happened. I mean, Abu Abdullah al-Sadiq, salamullah alayh, Imam al-Sadiq, he was passing by a man, ala rajulin, قَدْ اِرْتَفَعَ صَوْتُهُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ يَقْتَضِيهِ شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا. His voice, he had raised his voice, or his voice had been raised, to be more accurate in the translation. قَدْ اِرْتَفَعَ صَوْتُهُ, his voice had been raised on a man, يَقْتَضِيهِ شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا, on a man that was asking for something very small. Okay, so in other words, there's two people here that Imam al-Sadiq is passing by, and then Muhammad ibn Salama ibn Muhammad is watching this happen before his eyes. One person is raising his voice over this other person. This other person is asking him شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا, a small amount of money. And then instead of giving it to him, what this man is doing is he's raising his voice over that person. Why are you... It doesn't say what words, but whatever he was saying obviously was not a happy tone. He was raising his voice against that person. And Imam al-Sadiq is passing by, he's seeing this. What happens? فَقَالْ, the Imam said, بِكَمْ تُطَالِبُهُ. He's, so... By how much are you asking him? So he's speaking to the one who was asking for a small amount. He asks him, how much are you asking this man for that he's raising his voice over you? قَالَ بِكَذَا وَكَذَا, such and such amount. In other words, the amount is not mentioned in the hadith. Obviously, previously, Salama ibn Muhammad told us it was شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا, a small amount. فقال أبو عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Imam said, أما بلغك أنه قال أنه كان يقال لا دين لمن لا مروءة له. Has it not reached you that it used to be said that there's no deen, there's no religion for the man who has no مروءة? We said literally مروءة comes from مرء. A man, being a man, لا دينا. There's no religion for a person who doesn't have manhood. I guess it doesn't have. That's the literal equivalent, using the literal words, not the meaning. Manhood in English would mean have a completely different. I mean, it would not make sense here. But I'm trying to be true to the words right now, because as far as at least my knowledge of the English language goes, I can't find in my vocabulary a word that I can put forth as the equivalent. There may be or probably is. I'm not aware of that. I'll try to explain. And we said that what I have seen this actually being used as al-muru'a in Arabic. They take that, a lot of the ulama, because that word exists in Arabic. What happens in Farsi, they just start using the same word. Okay. So a lot of times you see the in Farsi, they pronounce it a little differently. Instead of muru'a, which is the correct Arabic pronunciation in ways, but that's not the way it's written here. They would say muruvat, which is a Farsi pronunciation. A wa becomes a V. A W becomes a V in Farsi. So muruwa, basically. Muru'a and muruwa are the same thing, two different pronunciations, correct pronunciations in Arabic. But when it becomes Farsi, it becomes muruvat. The W becomes a V. So generally what I've heard it is something that at least I can't make sense of here. It's been mentioned by ulama, but I just don't see it. Let's see. Now, let's go back to it. I tried to translate, and that for the muru'ah, I just put the words that it's made up of. Okay, muru'ah is being a man or manhood, not what is understood of that word in English. It's just a combination of words I'm trying to suggest. Anyhow, so initially when I was reading this, I thought the imam was condemning, in other words, turning away from the person who was asking to the person who was raising his voice and speaking to him. But in the context, at least what Sheikh Al-Kulani is bringing it, and I think it is relatively clear that that's not a correct understanding. It's addressing the same person. One of the clearest signs is that it doesn't say he turned when Salama ibn Muhammad is telling us the story. He doesn't say he turned to the other person. He said to the person who raised his voice. Continue. He said he asked this person something, and it's clear it's the person who was asking, not the person who was raising his voice. And then the imam responded to that same person. Otherwise, it should have been mentioned. So it's speaking to that same person. In other words, it seems like the correct understanding is Imam As-Sadiq, he didn't raise his voice, but he got onto him. Why are you doing this? You're asking for this amount. أَمَا بَلَغَكَ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُقَالَ لَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا مُرُوءَةَ لَهُ. There's no religion for someone who doesn't have this manhood. So I can't really... in Farsi, there's a word called javan mardi. Sometimes they use that. And I don't know, again, how to describe it. Certain qualities that are associated with a good man. For example, the way you behave with people, the way you take care of people, the way you, for instance, are not, caring about small little things and stinginess. Those are bad things that someone who has javan mardi in Farsi, that they would not have that. It would be helpful towards others and so on and so forth. I've seen equivalents as such. I can't really use any of those equivalents that I've seen and I've heard explanations of, both in Arabic and in Farsi, to this, in this context. Somehow, this person asking for this tiny amount, for this very small amount, is considered the lack of the quality of muru'a, being a man, or having good etiquettes, I guess. That was one general term that sometimes was used to define muru'a. If you don't have those general good qualities that a person has, a man should have, that is the deficient understanding I have of that part. Regardless of what that word specifically means, okay, to generalize if we could, and I've had a very serious difficulty in trying to understand that. In the words of ulama, I haven't really done extensive research in hadith on that word and see if we can have a better understanding of that. But besides that whole discussion about what muru'a specifically means, what is clear, regardless of that, is that the imam considers this a bad thing. Why is it a bad thing? Why is it a bad thing? Is it because it's a small amount? So for example, if you go to someone and you ask them for a mansion, or you ask them for gold, or large amounts of something, large sums of something, that's okay. And if you ask for a small amount, that's not okay. Also, is what Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi is what he's saying, building off of and approving the behavior of the other man. The other man spoke down in a condescending way, raised his voice on him, over him. Is Imam al-Sadiq approving that behavior? Is that what this is? I don't understand it in that way. My understanding is the problem isn't that it's a small amount in and of itself. We don't have anywhere in Islam where it says asking for a small amount of something is wrong. If that's the case, then I shouldn't be asking my children to bring me a glass of water. That's a small amount of something. Asking for a small service, that's inclusive of a lot of different examples. If you're with your buddy and you're in need of a small amount to pay for, I don't know, gas or something right there, you forgot your wallet or whatever, if it would be wrong to ask for small amounts, then you can't ask for $5. You no less than, I don't know what figure to put on. That's not the idea. The idea is this. This man lowered himself and put himself in a position for someone to treat him in that way and humiliate him publicly. This is what's happening. He publicly got humiliated. Now, why did you put yourself in that situation? Was it a serious need that you had this small amount you're asking, and you were willing to lower yourself and put yourself in a situation where you could at least potentially be humiliated for this small amount? This is the problem. Again, maybe if I do more extensive research in the riwayat, or maybe in the dictionaries, I can come to a clearer understanding of what muru'a is. But in terms of this particular behavior, the behavior that is being rejected, and the imam is trying to tell us that we shouldn't have this, is that have some dignity. This small amount, you want to put yourself in this position for this small amount, just leave it. Now again, sometimes that small amount is a matter of life and death. It's that small amount that's going to allow me to survive or not survive, for instance. The context isn't that those are the circumstances. Okay. Otherwise, that would have been mentioned. It's clear the conditions are not conditions of, and the conditions of that person, he's not a person that doesn't have anything at all. He's coming and asks for this small amount that he wants extra. Sometimes we do this. This is, I think, what's being said. We've experienced this. Some people very easily go and put them, whenever you ask someone for something, you are lowering yourself. You're asking for favors, you're lowering yourself. You don't lower yourself or put yourself in a position, especially asking someone that you can predict that they may have this type of behavior towards you. You want to lower yourself? Don't do that. Have some dignity and don't put yourself down and put yourself in a position where people would speak to you in that way. Sure, if it's something, it's a matter of life and death, and it's required, if they treat me, that's their problem. But I need to go and ask whatever possibility, whoever I think maybe potentially they could give it to me, I can ask them. If they mistreat me, that's their problem. Okay. But if it's not that, I have what I need, I want this extra amount, I'm willing to lower myself to this. This seems to be the issue. This is what I understand of it. Moving on to the next hadith. عدة من أصحابنا حديث number 4 عدة من أصحابنا عن سهل ابن زياد عن علي ابن أسباط عمن رواه عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. So this chain of transmission has سهل ابن زياد الآدمي. We've spoken about him. We consider him a very reliable person, as any of the teachers and ulama do. But there are some ulama who are al-Khajalis and they consider him unreliable because an accusation against him that Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Isa al-Ash'ari has, and it seems to be very, very, it's clear that it's very, very, very wrong. It's not a possibility. It's very clear that they unfortunately did not listen to what the Quran says, to not accept an accusation without evidence. Something was said about him, and then they just took that, and they considered him unreliable. He had to leave Qum, and difficult conditions that he had to deal with. Anyway, عدة من أصحابنا عن سهل ابن زياد عن علي ابن أسباط. From what I recall, he's okay. But then عمن رواه عن أبي عبد الله, from someone who narrated this from Imam al-Sadiq صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who that person is not mentioned. Again, according to what we said, because we don't know if the person is fasiq, we can rely on it. قال إذا أنعم الله على عبده بنعمة أحب أن يراها عليه لأنه جميل يحب الجمال. This is almost exactly the first hadith that we had Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi quoting Amir al-Mu'minin salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. In this case, he's not quoting, and the wording is changed up a little bit. And again, it helps to clarify that concept. If God blesses a believer with a ni'mah, he likes to see it on him. أحب أن يراها عليه. Why? Because لأنه جميل يحب الجمال. And this all comes together in suggesting that that blessing that has been given needs to come on you to have that beauty, have that jamal. It needs to be seen. You need to use that blessing. Using a blessing of clippers, hair clippers, is to groom yourself. Or using the blessing of makeup is to use it. Using the blessing of clothing is to wear it. And that's going to be evident, and it's going to be seen by others as well. Hadith number 5. Sahl ibn Ziyad عن محمد ابن الحسن ابن شمون عن عبد الله ابن عبد الله ابن عبد الرحمن عن مسمع بن عبد الملك عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. In this particular chain of transmission, first of all, Sahl ibn Ziyad, Sheikh Kulani doesn't narrate from directly, so this is not the beginning of the chain. The last hadith we had was عدة من أصحابنا عن سهل. So now it begins with Sahl. So that means the same, the group of teachers from Shaykh Kulani narrated from Sahl ibn Ziyad. So that's not a problem. But Muhammad ibn al-Hasan ibn Shammun, this person has been accused again of certain things, of being a ghali and so on. That's not established for us, so we consider him reliable. And Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman, I don't remember anything against him, but there may be some, again, similar accusations that have not been established. There are reasons that, because we didn't live at that time, we don't know the prayer. But there are signs that tell us some of those accusations are not based on reason. That's why we reject them. They're based on assumptions that have been made in ways. It's a long discussion. I'll leave it for another time. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman, seems like he's a reliable person. And Misma' ibn Abdul Malik. Abdul Malik is one of the brothers of Zurara ibn A'yan. There are a few brothers. And then each of the brothers has children, and some of those children are always also narrators of hadith, like Abdullah ibn Bukayr. Bukayr is one of the brothers of Zurara. Abdullah is his son. He narrates hadith. In this case, Misma' ibn Abdul Malik. the son of Abdul Malik, the brother of Zurara, عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام from Imam al-Sadiq, قال أبصر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله رجلا شعثا شعر رأسه وسخة ثيابه سيئة حاله. Imam al-Sadiq, according to the hadith that we consider reliable, he said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi saw a man sha'ithan sha'ru ra'sih. The hair on his head was dirty and all messed up. Wasikhatan thiyabu, his clothes were dirty. Sayyi'atan halu, his condition was bad. Very apparently what you see on this person, it's a bad condition. سَيِّئَةً حَالُ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهُ مِنَ الدِّينِ الْمُتْعَةُ وَإِظْهَارُ النِّعْمَةِ. Of the religion is mut'a. Now as soon as we say that, people who are used to that word being used in the context of temporary marriage, they think that's what that means. No, mut'a means using a blessing that has been given to you, taking advantage of a blessing that has been given to you, and taking and seeking pleasure from something that has been given to you for pleasure. And the reason why temporary marriage is referred to as such is because the two parties take pleasure in one another in what God has made halal, against what some people say God has made haram. No, He's not made haram, it is halal. And taking advantage of that and enjoying each other to people in the way that God has mentioned is a mut'a. So the word mut'a doesn't mean temporary marriage. It means enjoying and taking pleasure in something that God has given for it to be enjoyed and taken pleasure. So min ad-din, this is very important. Right? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, is the same prophet that encourages salah. The same prophet that talks about not being attached to the dunya, the same prophet that talks about khushu', the same prophet that talks about khashya of Allah, the same prophet that cries and spends hours in sujood, the same prophet that tells his followers that the hereafter is better than this dunya, don't be attached, and so on and so forth, the hardships he went through, the times that they didn't have anything, the same prophet that we have all of those has said this, min ad-din, of the religion, he's training people. You can't be, Islam is multifaceted. You cannot take one aspect, one dimension and say this is Islam. No, every part of it is every part of it. Every part of it is important. The haram is important to know it's haram. The halal is important to know it's halal. This part, the Prophet's wording is very interesting. It's min ad-din. This is part of religion, not something that, oh, religious people are okay to do. It's part of your religion. If zuhd is part of your religion, salah is part of your religion, fasting is part of your religion, hajj is part of your religion, this is also part of your religion. Min ad-din al-mut'a. Again, in the general sense of the word. Taking pleasure in what God has given you. وَإِظْهَارُ النِّعْمَةِ, and showing that ni'mah. What is this appearance we're seeing? Obviously, the Prophet, there's things, maybe questions come to mind regarding times where the believers didn't have. Obviously, a person who doesn't have and has ended up, like maybe he was traveling or whatever, he didn't have the ability to. These are basic things. It doesn't say the clothes were ragged. It's dirty. That means they haven't been washed. Okay. In the city of the Prophet, it was accessible. If your clothes are dirty, they need to be washed. You ask anyone, and that's the service. Even if you don't have a house, you don't have anything, you're homeless. You're one of the Ashab al-Suffa, if I pronounce the word right. The people who didn't have a place, there was a certain area by the masjid that they would spend resting and sleeping over there. They don't have anything. They didn't have any money. They didn't have a place. They didn't have anything. Then if you're there, it doesn't mean God has blessed you with God. The Prophet has said, everybody needs to serve them, whatever they need. Okay, your clothes are dirty. Have them washed. Go wash your clothes. I don't want to wash them. Well, that's a problem. Islam says, I've given you the blessing to be able to wash your clothes. Wash it. If that wasn't provided for you, okay. But no, it's been provided for you. You're not washing your clothes. Your hair, comb it. Come on, you just use your fingers at least. The word sha'ithan sha'ru ra'sih means uncombed, very messy. Take care of it. This hair is a blessing of Jamal itself. And taking care of it, comb it, brush it, do something. It's available. Sayyatan halu, very like in a bad condition. You can do better than this. It's available to you. Again, in the middle of a war, the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, I don't want to give an example of the Ahlul Bayt themselves, use the example of the companions of the Ahlul Bayt. Well, yeah, they're bloody, their clothes are filled with blood. That blood, all that thing that seems to be very unpleasant, that appearance of that person, their clothes are stained with their blood. That's a beautiful scene. They're sacrificing in the way of Allah. But that's a whole different thing. If their clothes are all dusty, their face is filled with dust because of that battle, it's a different thing. That's in a context of battle. You're not in battle, you're sitting here, you have all these blessings available. Just decide to be lazy. I want to brush my teeth, don't want to brush my hair, don't want to take care of my hair, my body, my... The Prophet says, this isn't... Part of deen is al-mut'a wa idhharu al-ni'mah. Blessings that have been given to you, they have to show. If you were in some part of the world that didn't have anything, okay, well, you're somewhere where they do have things. You're not in the middle of the desert. You have people, there's water, there's everything available to you. You're not taking care of yourself. That's not acceptable. The Prophet says that's not acceptable. Min ad-deen is part of Islam, part of your religion. The last thing regarding this, and I think we already passed our time, this will be the last hadith. Don't take this from non-Muslims. See, unfortunately, to Muslimin that did not learn this from Islam, and unfortunately, in the countries that have not been under Islamic rule, cities are dirty, trash is not taken care of, waste is not taken care of properly, people didn't have the means to take care of themselves, all the makeup and colognes and fragrances and personal care products and how you take, all that came from the West. And so unfortunately, people think this is a Western thing that we are adopting as Muslims. No. Take it from Islam, min ad-din. Al-mut'a wa idhharu al-ni'mah min ad-deen. This is from Islam, not from kufr, not from not. Don't take it from them. You like some design, a certain haircut, this, that, the other. Yeah, these are na'amat, even if it's on a kafir, but God has given to you. And deen says, if you like that appearance, you like to take that type of haircut, or this type of this, that type of clothing in the context of what God has made halal. You like that one, that looks better on you, this style looks better on you, or whatever. Take it as part of the deen of Rasulullah. Not something that deen doesn't talk about. I take my salah from deen, and then I take this stuff from kuffar. No, no. Consider it deen, and God will reward you. See that it says God loves you if you do that. And if you don't, all this time that Muslim nations didn't take care of themselves properly, all the cities that are filled with trash, waste is not taken care of, it's polluted, all that stuff, that it says God dislikes that. Not that God likes these, don't turn that away and around and flip it and say, well, God loves people here. They're not doing it as a ni'mah of Allah. The kuffar of them, of course, the mu'mineen of them are in ways. The kuffar and the leaders of kufr, they're not doing it as for that, and therefore they're not Habibullah. Habibullah is someone who sees it as a ni'mah of Allah and takes care of it as a ni'mah of Allah. Muslimin should have taken care of their regions, their cities, their countries, and it should have looked much better than the cities of the kuffar. But unfortunately, we didn't. That is a fault on us. We strayed away from Islam. And if we're doing it right now, it shouldn't be like, oh, the West did it, we need to do it as well. No, the Prophet said it, we need to do it. And we need to do a better job than the kuffar. And inshallah, that will happen. When the Imam of our time comes, whatever you see, all these products that you see are nothing compared to the developments by the mu'mineen with the presence of the Imam of our time. All these developments will be much greater. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the nur and the light of Islam through the Quran, the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, walhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.